Du hører på en Gry Hammer podcast. Ainsley MacLeod den første engelsktalende gjesten jeg har hatt med i podcasten min. Han en internasjonalt anerkjent past life psychic, så det heter på engelsk, altså en som kan snakke med åndelige veiledere og kunne si noe om tidligere liv til for eksempel meg, som han har da tidligere snakket med, om akkurat meg, mitt liv og mine tidligere liv. Det var en helt tilfeldig sak at jeg oppdaget han Ainsley MacLeod. Det var i fjor høst. Jeg satt og letet etter en bok på Adlibris, tror jeg det var. Og så var det titlen på en bok som bare traff meg, og så tenkte jeg, denne boka må jeg ha. Og Ainsley MacLeod var forfatter av den boka. Aldri hørt om han før, så da endte jeg opp med å begynne å google han. For det jo litt greit å gjøre litt sånn kvalitetssøk før en hiver seg rundt og kjøper noe i affekt. Og så, når jeg da så at han hadde vært gjest både hos Oprah Winfrey og vært med på The Ellen Show til Ellen DeGeneres, så tenkte jeg at, ok, da kan ikke han være helt bort i natta. Så jeg har invitert han med i podcasten min, og han takket ja. Han en bestselgende forfatter av flere bøker, og den boka som traff meg heter The Old Soul's Guidebook. Så da gjenstår det bare å advare deg litt imot min au pair engelsk. Jeg har aldri gjort dette her før, så bear over with me. Jeg har vært au pair for 14 år siden, når jeg var 19 år, og stelte for en 8 år gammel jente. Så jeg tippet at engelsken min bærer noe preg av å være på det nivået. Men jeg tror du skal få både forstå hva vi snakker om, og forhåpentligvis få en litt annerledes opplevelse. God lytt! Dina veka får du 10% rabatt på alt i nettbutikken min, gryhammer.no. Går du inn der, så finner du alle bøkene mine, du finner flere typer produkt, blant annet eteriske oljeblandinger, du finner fermentert sjokoladepålegg, du finner verdens beste magnesiumkrem til urolige legger og såre muskler, du finner honningfrisk, spekepølse, urteteer, masse kjekt. Så går du inn og bruker kupongkoden %10, så får du altså 10% rabatt på alt i nettbutikken min på gryhammer.no.
Ainsley MacLeod is an internationally acclaimed past life psychic, spiritual leader and an award-winning author of the books The Instruction, The Transformation and The Old Soul's Guidebook. He's been a featured guest on Oprah Winfrey Show, Soul Series, and Super Soul Conversations. Ainsley has also talked about his psychic skills on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. He's originally from Scotland, but now he lives in the States. Welcome to my podcast, Ainsley.
Thank you so much, Gry. Great to be here.
You've said everything you are, your personality, beliefs, aspirations, talents, and fears, is the result of your soul's many incarnations.
Yep, absolutely. I believe that there is nothing about we humans that isn't past life related in some way. And the reason I say that is that we have, as souls, we have multiple incarnations. We come here to the earthly plane many times so that we can grow through experience. If we came here once, we wouldn't learn anything. You know, it would be, you could come here for 5 years and that was it. But we come here over and over again, multiple times, so that we learn and grow. And we have experiences in different parts of the world and in which we switch gender, We have sometimes you're poor, sometimes you're wealthy. By the end of all these lives, you've got a pretty good understanding of what it is to be human on the physical plane, which is the goal. And so the reason I say everything is past life related is that your entire personality, who you are, can be determined by what you've learned to be in previous lifetimes. And a really good example of this is where you see on YouTube, like a three-year-old playing piano like Rachmaninoff. And that three-year-old didn't learn to play piano and become a virtuoso in just those 3 years. They have lifetimes of experience, and they're bringing that to this life. So I think it should be a good example of reincarnation. When people look at that and they say, wow, how do they do it? Well, it's because they've done it before. But also we carry fears and limiting beliefs, phobias. These all come from past lives as well. Trauma in this life triggers memories of past life trauma. And that's why you can get two people in the same family, same trauma, but they have different responses to it because of whatever happened in their past.
Yeah, because that's what I was wondering about, because you said that everything is about past life. And then my question was, what about traumas in this life? But now you sort of explained it.
Yeah, really the trauma in this life will, how you respond to it will always relate to what's happened in the past. So for example, if you were imprisoned or you were enslaved in a past life and you have a certain kind of trauma in this life, you might go into a very passive place because that was how you were. You were powerless in the previous lifetime. So you can easily go into a place of disempowerment when something happens in this life and maybe feel like, oh, I can't fight it. It's too big. Or maybe you ever seen how people react to betrayal? You know, the spouse cheats on them, or somebody cheats them in some way. And some people can brush it off, it's no big deal. And other people will commit a crime of passion. You know, they'll kill, you know, that it's such a big deal for them.
Yeah.
And that's because of what's being triggered from the past life.
But how do you know all this? As Oprah Winfrey said, who are you? Who died and gave you the
that's exactly
the recipe on how this works, you know?
Who died and made me an expert in the end?
Yeah, who died and made you an expert. And we've also talked several months ago. You also talked to your soul guides and told me quite a bit about my life and my past lives and my past lives, how they trigger stuff in this life. And I will like to share some of that, of course not everything you said, but some of it with my listeners. But before that, I would like to ask you to tell us a little bit more about who made you the expert on this area.
So, well, where did it begin? I think the first major thing that happened to me was I had been told for most of my life that I was psychic, but I never
by whom? By whom?
Other psychics. I literally had people come up to me in not in the street, but in pubs. It happened twice in pubs and at Gatwick Airport. Somebody just came up, and it was always the same message. It was, I'm psychic, you're psychic, and I'm told you need to be doing something with it. But I mean, I didn't feel psychic at all, and my life was chaotic, and I thought, well, if I was psychic, I'd be doing better. And you know, I didn't really believe in spirit guides. I didn't have any belief in anything beyond what we see. But then after a big move in my life, I moved to the West Coast of the States, and I took a trip to Hawaii. And when I was there, two things happened. The first is that I had a reading with a psychic, and she said, your uncle wants to work with you, and he's a spirit guide. Well, he was like me, a non-believer, atheist. And so I thought, yeah, he's not going to be a spirit guide, and I'm not sure I believe in this. The next day, I went to a bookshop, and I'm just walking around the bookshop, and I ran into my uncle. I mean, he was there. Now, he'd been dead for 10 years, so this was, like, surprising. And he was about 18 inches away on my right side, and as real as a human being, but only for 1 second. It was really quick. But there was a longer message about working together. And so it took me a little while. I went back to the States, and I thought, well, let's try. See if I can connect with my uncle. And I did. And I was very surprised.
How? Did he talk to you? Did you see him? How did that work?
It is so hard to explain. What I got, it's been interesting too, because over the years, how I perceive things from the spirit world has changed a little bit. But very early on, it was just, I would sit quietly. I would ask him to be with me. And then
your uncle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I would ask him questions, some about the family, some about different experiences that I knew he had. And then I would sometimes check things out. You know, I'd go online and see if I could confirm things that he was telling me. But I only spoke to him for a very short time, and he handed me over to the spirit guides that I work with now. And these are spirits who've experienced everything on the physical plane here on Earth, and now they help us.
Okay, you talk about soul levels from 1 until 10.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you got that measurement from 1 to 10, but they are obviously not in this realm.
No, this is from the spirit guides that I work with. They give me the elements that I talk about in groups of 10. There's nothing magical about it. It's just a convenient number.
So that we are able to understand, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole purpose, what they want to do is help us to understand who we are, why we're here.
Why?
Because by understanding your life purpose, and we all have a life purpose that we create before even being born. And the more that we understand our purpose, the more fulfilling our life will be, the more successful it will be.
Hmm.
And they're motivated to help us. That's their only purpose.
Their only purpose is to help
us. To help us on the physical plane, yeah.
Okay.
Of course, I think it would help if more of us were aware that we had spirit guides. But they are there. They're always there to help us. So what I do in my work is using the system that they gave me. I help people to understand who they are and why they're here. And who you are is why you're here. And that's the importance of understanding the personality that you've chosen for this life.
So I've already chosen a personality.
Yep. You choose it before you come here based on what you want to experience. So as I say in my last book, in the Old Soul's Guidebook, you wouldn't wear flip-flops to climb Mount Everest. You know, you would choose appropriate climbing gear. And the same thing is if you choose the personality of a leader, and you came here with no one to lead, what would be the point? So who you are is why you're here. You choose your personality, and then that shapes your destiny. For example, I'm a creator soul type. And I was drawing from the time I was born. First time I found a pencil and a piece of paper, I was drawing cartoons. And I became a cartoonist for 20 years before doing this work. And I can do creative stuff is easy for me. I can play guitar, I can paint, I can draw, I can anything creative, no problem. But there's a lot of other things that I don't do very well because it's not in my personality. Mm. I don't do anything with numbers. I mean, I'm not very good in the outdoors. I'm an indoor cat.
You're clumsy outside.
Yeah, I just
climbing mountains.
Oh, I would never climb a mountain. It was like a client asked me just 2 days ago if I was interested in walking El Camino. And my response was immediately, it wasn't just no, it was no. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. But if it was in my personality to do it, that it was more connected to my body, then yeah, it would be a great thing to do. But you know, put me in a bookshop for a week and I'll be really happy. I never want to leave. Mm-hmm. Give me some art materials. I'll know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. But the point is we're all different. Some people come in to be more academic. They're more cerebral. They want to go to college. They want to maybe become a lawyer or something that really uses the brain. Other people come in to be on the stage. They're performers. They want to entertain us. You get some people who just come here to take care of children or animals, the caregivers. And all of this is decided before you're born.
But some people, okay, let's talk about me for a second. I feel like I want to climb mountains. I want to grow my own vegetables. I like to write. I love poetry and art. I love all the things you. It's not that simple for me to decide what my life's purpose is because I would like to do everything. There's nothing I wouldn't like to do. Of course, there is. But yeah. If you understand, it seems more complex to me than, oh, of course, that's the thing I want to do.
Well, that's the beauty of the system because it shows you all the elements of how you put yourself together. So, yeah, it's not simple. It's not like you're just one thing or the other. What you have is a core, a central part of who you are. And then you have all these other influences. And I can show you how you put yourself together. Do you want?
Yes, please. Yes, please. Yeah, and the system.
First of all, let's talk about the age of your soul. Because you're, technically speaking, you're level 9. There's only 10 levels in all. Each level has several, could be 5, 10, 15 lifetimes, just depending on what you need to learn. At late level 9, 80% into level 9, there are certain things that you're here to do. At level 9, you want people to benefit from what you do. You need that someone has to benefit from your efforts.
Yeah, unless it seems completely meaningless to me, if it doesn't mean anything for anyone.
Yeah, if it doesn't mean anything, let's move on. That's your soul telling you there's no fulfillment there. So you choose to be level 9. You're more likely to be spiritual rather than religious. The older the soul gets, the more it becomes more spiritual.
What's the difference between being spiritual and religious?
Well, spirituality is more of a personal thing. It's about your personal ethics and so on. Where religion is really, it's about being told what to do. It's like...
more dogmatic.
Exactly. The older the soul gets, the less that religious dogma speaks to it. Mm. And it becomes more, but there is for a soul of your age, a sense of connection to the the other world.
Yeah.
To the spirit world. And at 80% into that level, there is one experience you have to have. You have to overcome issues around rejection. And what this means is that you're trying to heal from abandonment, perhaps dying alone at the end of a past life. And one of the ways to do it is what we're doing right now, or what you're doing. When you create a podcast, you are bringing people together. You're uniting. And that is an incredible way to heal yourself. I found every podcaster I've spoken to in the last 5 years is working through that fear of rejection. It's incredible. What a wonderful way to be able to do it. But it's all about creating community, because you were once very alone, maybe when you died, and now your soul wants to be responsible for bringing people together. It wants to be the Pied Piper, you know? Draw people towards you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your soul age. Your personality, again, this is made up of 10, well, there are 10 elements in all. You have 6 of them.
But Isabel, if you could stop just for a moment, because the soul age is from 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Is it possible to say short a little bit about the different levels before?
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So
I have your book here, Soul Level 1.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So we go from first of all, think of it as being divided in 2. You have levels 1 to 5 and then 6 to 10. And the first 1 to 5, you're a young soul. 6 to 10, you're an old soul. There's a flip roughly about halfway through where the soul's focus goes from being external to more internal. There's more questioning and introspection.
Contemplation, maybe.
Contemplation for a lot, yeah. So level 1, you're just getting used to being here. You know, simple lives, simple places. Level 2, starting to get a little bit more comfortable with being on the physical plane. Level 3 is about creating communities, the need to conform. Younger souls tend to be very conservative. It makes them feel safe. And that's one of the signs.
Rigid?
Rigid, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They see everything much more in black and white. Older souls, the older the soul gets, the more it sees shades of gray.
And I read about in level 1, they say that it's quite difficult for a person on level 1 to deal with technology.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult for me too. And you say I'm almost finished with level 9. So I don't know. What do you mean about that? It's really hard.
Well, no, I'm with you. I mean, I spent the weekend struggling with technology. The technology gods.
Maybe we are level 1 after all then.
Well, I think what it is really that there is a lack of understanding, just a lack of experience in the very young soul that just, it makes it, what they look for are lives that are not complex. So they don't want to have to deal with stuff that is too complicated. It's just the older the soul gets, the more it's able to handle more complex experiences. So you get to level 4 and 5, the soul is pushing out into the world. Most of our leaders, unfortunately, are level 5.
Yeah. Can you please tell me about Putin and Netanyahu and Trump? I would like to know their level, because it must be really, really down there.
All of them level 5.
Really? All of them?
Yeah. And because this is a point where they're, you know, I was talking about black and white. They're very certain about themselves. There's no inner questioning. You know, Putin or Netanyahu or Trump, they don't lie awake at night going, oh my gosh, did I do the right thing? Oh my gosh, you know, create a better world or whatever. There's no introspection. So it's just and they are motivated by power, thirst for power, and of course greed.
Don't they have any soul guides trying to get them out of this craziness?
Absolutely, they do, but they're blocked. The soul literally resides in the heart. I know it's a really weird thing, but the soul is in this part of the body. So any communication from spirit guides goes through the soul before going into the conscious mind. I mean, it's kind of metaphorical in parts, but if you think of it, it's like communication coming into the heart. If the heart chakra is blocked, which it is with these individuals, I mean, they're sociopaths, and they are extremely blocked. There is no empathy, and that's the sign of a narcissist or a sociopath. There is no empathy. They are literally unable to put themselves in somebody else's place, and they can inflict cruelty because that's not happening to them. Mm-hmm. So they have spirit guides who are going crazy, like, oh my God, how do we stop them? But they can't get through. Mm-hmm. These people are operating really without a conscience because they're so blocked off from the soul and the spirit world.
But if you are that blocked, you say that in each level there is from 5 until 15 lives before you move to the next level. So maybe they are stuck on level 5 for quite some lifetimes before they... I thinking right?
Well, they could. Yeah, they could. Absolutely. They would. This is really to do with karma. There will be a lot of karma to balance. The more responsibility you have, the more the potential for karma. And what it means is that a lot of people have died because of these individuals. Their souls, when they go to the astral plane after this lifetime to process the life, will be shocked and horrified as it processes all that's been inflicted on other people. And what those souls will then do is come back many times at level 5, but to try and make up for what they did. They might come in and be, they might work for Médecins Sans Frontières or find some way to help to balance all that negativity to create good stuff out of it. Mm-hmm. But it's unfortunate that we live in a world where these people do run most of our institutions. I don't mean those individuals, but those young souls, they run the corporations.
Money-driven.
Oh,
power-driven.
Money, yeah. Power, yeah. Mm-hmm. Once you get to be an older soul, you're looking for far greater meaning. You want your life to have purpose. And that's really why people are drawn to working with me. It's the first question most people have is, what's my life purpose? What am I here to do? When you're a younger soul, you don't care because you've got all these lifetimes ahead of you. So you can come in and do pretty much anything and you're going to get some growth. But for the old soul, what you want to be interacting with certain souls. You want more specific experiences. It's like you've got this few things on your checklist and you want to make sure that you're learning specific lessons for this lifetime. You've got fewer lifetimes, so you don't have time to waste.
Can you say something about my life purpose?
Yes, absolutely. And, when I was saying that who you are is why you're here, soul types are the core of your personality, and they are... they're based on what you've learned to do in previous lifetimes. So like most of my clients, you're a spiritualist type. And this is a spiritualist would in previous lifetimes, you've maybe been a healer or maybe a priest or a nun or contemplative. And in this life, you don't have to be doing those specific things, but it does give you an easier connection to the spirit world. You've had lifetimes in a monastery, you're You're going to have a lot of time to connect with the other side, however you perceive it, whether you think it's spirit guides or God or whatever you like to call it. But you are connecting, and you've had a lot of lives as a healer. Bottom line is, you want people to benefit from what you do. This is not a selfish life just to, you know, sit around and eat bonbons and call it good, you know. You want to feel like you're making a difference. Yeah. The first influence that you have in your soul types on that spiritualist is the creator. Now, that will do several things. Like I said, I'm a creator, so it gives you some level of creativity, but it also gives you a huge need for freedom and autonomy, because you need to be able to think creatively. I always say the worst thing to happen to somebody like you is to be micromanaged.
Of course.
You know, if somebody tells you what to do all the time, it's like, I can't be myself. So the sensitivity of the creator is huge. I mean, you are a highly, highly sensitive person with this combination because of that creator being so strong. The next element that shows up is the performer. And this makes you, well, it's from lifetimes where maybe you were on the stage, literally a performer. But in this life, it helps you be more of a people person. And because you have a past life fear around rejection that you're working on, it prevents you from becoming a hermit and shutting yourself off from the world. So it pushes you more out to be with people. And it's about communication as well. You know, I picture performers with a microphone up to their faces, and there you are. You know, that's a performer kind of thing, to have a microphone. The next element that shows up is the very rational thinker. It's you learn this through being you could be a scientist, a lawyer, an academic, but it's a lifetime where you've been more rational and intellectual. Yeah. And then there are two other elements, and they look really kind of unusual together. One is caregiver influence, and this is a compassionate part of you. This helps you to overcome past life issues that affect the heart chakra. One of the goals for this life is to open your heart and be a very loving presence, and this caregiver influence helps you to do that. And people will be very touched by that. You know, they'll feel that you connect emotionally with them. And it gives you a lot of feminine energy. But then the last element that shows up here,
the last one is quite harsh, actually, sometimes.
I know. It's like it's a leader influence.
Yeah.
And again, you know, this is the sort of thing to see in somebody who's doing this work that you're doing. Having a leader influence, you were a leader in previous lifetimes, it will do several things. It will give you an air of authority. It will give you a little bit more drive. When you get to be a really old soul, the energy, the drive can drop off. You've been around the block so many times.
Yeah, I have. It's like I have this drive, but sometimes I just want to sit in my garden.
Absolutely.
That's growing carrots, you know.
Yeah, growing carrots. Well, that's the old soul. But having the leader influence is Viagra for the soul. It gets more energy going to do things. But it's hard because your soul wants to, it's ready to retire.
Yeah, it's like in some sense, I feel I'm ready to retire, but still I have this drive. It's almost killing me because it's so intense. It's really weird combination.
Yeah, it is. And the whole thing is, it is kind of full of paradoxes and weird things, because you're super feminine and super masculine as well with this combination. And it will make it hard for people to figure you out. You know, who is she really? One of the things you get with the leader, I'm sure you've noticed this, is impatience.
Yeah, very much.
It's a feeling of, oh, I've explained it once. Don't make me have to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
The leader just wants to get on with it. On to the next thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And this you write about in the Old Souls Guidebook. You write about these levels, the soul ages. I would also like to ask you, is it possible for, do we all have soul guides? And is it possible for a Christian, a Jewish or a Muslim to, is there any contraindications about being a religious person and speaking to your soul guides?
Yeah, we all have spirit guides. We all have them. Now, whether we address them as that or not, it really doesn't matter. If you know, people ask me, are angels like spirit guides? They're just, it's just another word to describe it. You know, they are community and supporters on the other side. Religion is really a way to express spirituality in a lot of ways, but it's very much a sort of man-made thing. And from a spiritual point of view, I mean, when you go to the astral plane, there's no specific place for Christians or Muslims or whatever. No, you're back to being a soul. And in your many, many lifetimes, you've been an atheist, you've been agnostic, you've been Christian, you've been Muslim, you've been Buddhist, you've been all over the place. And that's one of the reasons why I was saying that when the soul gets to be really old, it tends to be more spiritual rather than religious. Mm. And even if it is religious, which I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but it tends to be more accepting. Those very dogmatic, or like, you know, here in the States, we've got the, you know, the white supremacist Christians. They're very young souls, very inexperienced, but they have the arrogance of youth, if you like. You know, they think they're right and theirs is the only way. And just as the soul ages, it becomes more and more aware that we're all connected and there's no, you know, not one is better than the other or whatever. So,
but it's also possible to be a deeply religious person and at the same time being a wise old soul. Or do you think it's an impossible thing?
No. It happens
because I know many of those.
I know many of them too. And but the one thing, the difference between that old soul who's very religious and the young soul who's religious is that the old soul will be much more compassionate and accepting of others. The young soul might use religion to go after trans people. The old soul would use religion to justify helping them.
Yeah.
You know, that would be the kind of difference.
No bonfires on women not doing the right things and witches and
You know, there are fewer witch burnings these days, but I mean, still got a way to go. I mean, still a lot of misogyny, because of the younger soul's perception of difference. You know, that's a big difference between young soul and old soul. The young soul sees huge differences in religion, gender, sexuality, and so on. And one of the signs of being a very old soul is just acceptance of others.
Don't care about all those crazy constructions.
And I don't mean not being concerned about race issues or gender issues. We should be concerned about those things, but not judging, you know, negatively because you're a different skin color, or you know, you worship God a different way, or you prefer somebody of your own gender to the opposite sex.
Okay. Can you please tell us how you communicate with your soul guides, or how we all can do that? How do we do that?
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing is, you need to still your mind. And that was, I think, what really helped me to begin with. When I was younger, I was very wired. and very high energy, and I was doing stuff all the time. But then I learned to meditate, and it just it calmed me right down, and it allowed me, when I started working with the spirit guides, to get into a kind of zone where I could communicate. Meditation really is the key that unlocks all of this. So I would say the first thing is to meditate. Even if you just do 10 minutes twice a day, doesn't have to be, you know, punishment or a lot. But getting into a regular meditation practice, I think that's the first and really most important thing.
There are 1,000 different meditation practices. Can you please tell us about one simple, easy one that everyone can do? Meditation.
Well, I was like what the Dalai Lama said when someone asked him if what's the best way to meditate. He said, whatever works for you. But the one that worked for me best was the listening meditation. So I would just close my eyes and I would just listen. So I might be hearing a car going past or some voices in another room or a clock ticking or just birds singing. And what happens is you start then to think about stuff. You know, oh, I must remember to get some milk when I go out, or some things start going into your head. And then you catch yourself and you just go back to listening and you just go through that. Just every time you find you're off thinking about stuff, you just go back to listening. And I found that so helpful because it's very hard. You say to most people, oh, just clear your mind and don't think about anything. It's like, how are we supposed to do that? So again, it's whatever works for you. So maybe having some music could be really good, or a guided meditation. Some people, you know, when you have the leader in you, sometimes a walking meditation can be good, or being outdoors, being in the garden. Mm. You're connecting to the ground and to the universe. I mean, it's wonderful. And then what I found that helps initially is not to ask questions of your spirit guides, but more just to get into a kind of dialogue. Just start talking. Like, I'm thinking about this, you know, I'm wondering about going to college or going back to college or something like that. And what you get is you start to get feedback, like feelings like, maybe I should put this off for another year. You know, and that's coming from the spirit guides.
Because the spirit guides really want to be in touch with you, or
they are more motivated to talk to us than we are to them, because they're more aware of the ability to connect. So I just suggest for anybody, just start to get into a, you could ask questions or just statements, you know, I'm just wondering about such and such, and see what comes to you.
Is it important to speak out loud, or can you think?
Oh, no. I'm glad you asked me that. So I had a client who was telling me that she wasn't getting anything from her spirit guides. She didn't even know if she had spirit guides. And of course, they're saying to me, well, we're yelling. We're not getting through. And I said to her, are you writing things down as well as asking them? And she said, no, I just think them. And my spirit guide said, you know, it's hard enough being a spirit guide without having to read minds as well. And so the point is, give the spirit guides the best chance. Mm. Write things down, speak them, repeat them until you get an answer.
I've had some... my whole life, I've been very drawn to my ancestors, not all of them, but some particular destinies. I also felt it in my lungs and in my body in a very massive experience when my grandmother died. I could feel it. I was like, when she died, and I knew she had died. It's almost been like I've had this. I've been drawn to death and to their destinies. Could it be that they are my soul guides? Or is it just...
Yeah?
Well, the answer is that they are... First of all, our family, you know, our family of origin is not necessarily our soul family. Our soul family are souls that we've interacted with throughout all our lives. Not all the time, but the older the soul gets, the more you want to be around souls that you've known before, because you can get to a deeper place of connection rather than meeting somebody completely new of a completely different soul age.
Because I'm literally talking to my great-great-grandfather and great-great-grandmother, and yeah. I'm talking to them, and I feel like I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy, am I?
No, not at all. This is how it works, that we have family members. Some family members we have no connection with, you know, and others we have these deep soul connections with.
Yeah.
Known them before. And it may be somebody you only knew for a few years, you know, your grandma, you know, she might have died when you were five, but you had that really deep connection. And that soul will want to help you. So she could be acting as a spirit guide. So we have spirit guides on different levels, and a lot of family members who've gone before will act as spirit guides. So it's very common to have a grandparent or a parent, especially, well, sometimes either if they really let you down in this life and they wish they would have been there and now they can, or sometimes they just were so concerned about you, they want to continue to they want to look after you and make sure you're okay.
That sounds much more beautiful than me wondering if I'm crazy talking to them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think we all look a little crazy when we're talking to the spirit worlds.
Yeah. And I also want to ask you, because you've said that all talents stems from past life abilities. Is that really true?
Absolutely. Any talent. So any talent you have, is, you know, anything that stands out, it's because you've done it before. So, you know, I'm an artist. I've had plenty of lifetimes as an artist. I'm a writer. I've had lifetimes as a writer. I'm psychic. I've had lifetimes of contemplation, and that's allowed me to, you know, to help develop that connection. So, talents, again, you can identify the 10 talents. But, you know, I have obviously a talent for art. You've got a talent for communication. You've got a very strong talent for intuition as well, talent for empathy. These are all brought in from previous lifetimes, and they can all be drawn out. They can all be developed in this life. It's one of the things that people forget, particularly when we talk about intuition. People think you've either got it or you don't. But that would be like saying you can either play violin or you don't. We all recognize that you could have a talent for music, but the first time you pick up a violin, it's going to sound horrendous. Mm. And you have to learn. But if you have a talent for music, then it becomes easier because you're building on the foundation of other lifetimes. And the same thing applies to something like intuition, but it's not just something you simply have or you don't. It's something that most of us would have some potential there. Same way most of us could probably, if given enough time, we could scrape a tune on a violin. Some people are going to be really great at it because they've got the past life talent, and other people are going to really struggle. The same thing with anything, intuition or whatever. We can develop these things, but those who have the natural ability are those who are tapping into the previous lifetime's experience.
Okay, so you are mostly highly intuitive if you're an older soul, mm-hmm. and not a young soul.
No, it's a lot harder. I mean, younger souls, it's, you know, when I said there's that flip, the sort of 180-degree flip at the end of level 5, then it becomes much more easy because it's about introspection. You go from that outward focus to the inward focus. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to really get intuition would be very, very hard to develop as a younger soul.
How about intelligence? Because I've come to the understanding that intelligence has nothing to do about the soul levels. You can be highly intelligent at level one, soul level one. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and I've met some real dumb level 10 souls, you know. So, yeah, you know.
How do they work?
they make it through life, you know. But, I mean, there's certainly, I wouldn't say that there's a direct connection to, you know, you can get very, very smart younger souls. I mean, you know, look at all the technological and scientific developments we have. Interestingly, a lot of that is there are slightly older souls. They still have some young soul energy, and it's level 7 is a time when a lot of things are created, you know, as big innovations. Mm. You know, that's a time of really kind of bringing everything together, scientifically, creatively. A lot of great artists at level 7, a lot of scientists level 7. But you can still be, you can be super smart and you can be level 4.
And a complete idiot at level 10.
Yeah, but it really, you know, some of it's about your actual willingness to sort of learn and grow. People can be intransigent in very many different ways. And interestingly, this is something that surprises people. Most atheists are really, really old souls, but they're very intellectually centered old souls, and they question the whole religious thing, and they reject religion. Unfortunately, they often reject spirituality.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that.
Yeah. The two are not the same.
I was thinking about Ricky Gervais. I think he's a wonderful comedian, but he's extremely anti-religious person.
Yeah. Well, there's a certainty that you get with a lot of old souls, and you can understand it because, I mean, from an intellectual old soul's point of view, I mean, the whole thing does look a little bit sort of weird. But they have sometimes, you know, I think of him or Richard Dawkins, and people who are, you know, yeah, you got some really great points, but you're a little overly certain. Because there's,
I mean, it's almost dogmatic. It's almost dogmatic in that direction as well.
I used to be a pain in the ass about religion and stuff, you know.
Me too.
You know, usually when the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on the
door. Yeah. I've talked to them.
You know, I was bring them in, you know, I used to just say, okay, let's have a good argument. You know,
I was actually on the train from Oslo to Gothenburg for like 10 years ago. And I was talking to this, I've never met her before. And we were sitting right in front of each other and talking. And we had the most beautiful conversation about life and death and the, just getting to know each other. And then she was going off the train. And in the second she said goodbye, she gave me this Jehovah's Witness, read this. And I felt like she had fooled me, you know. Why didn't she say it from the beginning? What? Because that was her agenda, I felt.
I know, when you feel somebody's trying to sell you on something. That was an interesting thing too, you know. So I used to be very, very certain of my atheism. And, you know, and want to argue with Jehovah's Witnesses and prove myself right. And, you know, and then, you know, everything just, it completely flipped what I, you know, now, I mean, I talk to the spirit world. I mean, it's like, you know, how weird is that? Yeah. Going from non-believer to, well, certainly, you know, utterly convinced by the existence of the spirit world. But one thing that happened when it relates to, you know, that trying to sell you something, when I first discovered I had this ability, had these amazing experiences, and especially connecting with my uncle briefly and you know, right at the beginning. I wanted to share it with my family because it felt such a big thing to me. It was like, I mean, it was life transforming for me. That's why I talk about it all the time. But I would try to explain it to family members, and I would find that my throat would close up and my mouth would go dry, and I couldn't get it out. And it was the spirit world that said, if you're trying to sell anybody on anything, it'll never work. You know, you'll just become self-conscious. It would trigger past life issues and so on. So how I do it is I have absolutely no interest in trying to convince anybody of anything. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is what my understanding, this is where I'm at. This is what I've learned. This is how I do it. But take it or leave it. I have absolutely no interest in whether, you know, in making sure somebody gets it. Whereas when I was an atheist, I was all, oh my God, I've got to shake some sense into this poor Christian.
Yeah, I can relate to everything you are saying, because I was very, you know, you have to understand this and you have to understand that. I was like that. Yeah. And now do whatever you like, you know.
Exactly. Well, I think there's some...
Please don't harm anyone.
Wisdom comes with age.
Yeah. Is it possible to go from within one life? Can I go from level 9 until 10 in this life? Or does it have to happen between lives?
It has to happen between lives, yeah. You can't make that jump now because... you haven't processed this life. And what you do, the first thing you do when you go to the astral plane, where you go between lives, literally the first thing you do is process.
What's alone or with a group of souls? Or
Well, everything on the other side happens energetically. So they use metaphors to try to explain, you know. So, yeah, I mean, you could say it's with the help of other spirit guides or whatever. It's maybe not as literal as that. But the processing, this is the most amazing thing. I had a little glimpse of it. My spirit guides gave me a little few seconds of what it feels like. And it's traumatizing. What happens is that you feel the emotions that you have created in other people. So... And it all happens very, very quickly. I mean, it's like, you know, it's all like, you know, entire lifetime, you know, it gets processed just like lightning. But let's say you were cruel to a kid at school. You punched them in the nose and stole their lunch money. Well, you'll feel the hurt that you created in that person. You will feel it yourself. Exactly as they did at the time. And those emotions are then there to help you process and understand the effect that you've had on the world. And it's the good stuff as well. It's not all the, you know, horrendous stuff. Mm. It can be you feel the good stuff and you learn from that very much as well. But it's only then that you know if you can go from one level to the next. You can't process here.
But when
you can do a little bit. I mean, actually, I shouldn't say you can't process. Journaling and processing your life as you go along is great, but you're just not going to go up a level until you completed this.
So there's no possibility for me to become a cat in my next life?
No. I mean, you know, good luck trying, but...
I would love to be a cat. One of my cats. I would love to be.
Yeah, I'd like to be my cat.
My own cat. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, she's got, you know, two big meals every day. She gets to loaf around. She can watch as much TV as she wants. I mean,
yeah,
great life.
Lots of cuddling. But is it possible? Yeah. But is it possible for a cat to become a human, or cat?
No, there. From my understanding, there's no. Cross species. If you're human now, you'll be human right to the end of all these lives.
Once a cat, always a cat.
Once a cat, always a cat.
Okay. But they can also, because I have had many cats, and I've had some deep connections with some of them, and other cats have they had just been cats. Can you say something about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was interviewed by Ellen DeGeneres on her show, and they wanted to talk of all things, because I'm not a pet psychic or anything, but they were intrigued by my cat, Lily. I mean, I had her on a big screen behind me, a picture of Lily. And I mean, for a moment, she was the most famous cat in America. And I knew Lily. I found her at a rescue center. And I just knew, I went, that's the cat I'm looking for. And she was my first cat back when I was a kid. And I always wanted a cat, and my parents wouldn't let me have one. So I went and got one and took it home and hoped that they would fall in love with it. And they did. And but Lily is the reincarnation of my cat, Tiger, was his name. They're both orange-colored, fluffy things, and both very, very affectionate.
How do you know?
How do I know?
Yeah.
No, I have spirit guides.
Tell you.
Yeah. where I get all my information from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get tired from talking to them? Are they knocking on the door and, Ainsley, you have to listen now? Or is it always you reaching out?
It's pretty much always me reaching out. I actually go through a little process every morning to bring them in. And then, you know, I might say to them, perhaps before working with somebody, and I just say to the spirit guides, is there anything you want to talk to me about? And most of the time it's kind of, no, we're good. And then other times they say, yeah, we really want to talk to you about something very important. So
contact here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Like I'm using a lot of energy talking to you.
Ah, right.
Well, I have to put in the Lord thing. Yes, sorry for interrupting you. I was just thinking it's better to interrupt you than losing you.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, it gets tiring. I think you were asking if it's tiring. It's a big energy exchange. I can only do 2 sessions a day. Anything more than that, and I get pretty wiped out.
Yeah.
So it's a shame, because I could be very, very wealthy, but I just can't be doing it all the time.
No.
And I want to keep the standard up. You know, I decided when I first did readings that I would always give 100% to every single reading, no matter, you know, so that's my policy. And so to be able to do that, I can only do a few, just
You have some crazy waiting lists.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's job security, but
3 or 4 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
everybody wants his first question when they come to the end of a session. Well, how do I work with you again? So it just keeps stacking up. But
okay, so now I've had a session with you now, and then I have to, if I want to have one more, I have to wait for 4 years.
Now you're in the system now, you know, like
in the machinery of Ainsley MacLeod.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I would like to ask a few more questions. What are your thoughts about soulmates? Do they exist? What is a soulmate?
Okay. So a soulmate is a convenient way of saying that you have a romantic agreement with another soul. So to have that, that soul has to be part of your soul family to have that really deep connection. The soul family are souls who all came into the world way back at life number one. You all came in at the same time. So there's, you know, thousands of them. And so what you get, you know, I mentioned before, you get a deeper connection. You get more intimacy with souls that you've known before. So a soulmate has to be somebody that you've interacted with before. They have to be part of your soul family. and you have to have a romantic agreement with them. I mean, if here we're talking about a romantic soulmate partnership. And people have this idea that, you know, somehow you meet a soulmate and it will be like swans swimming off into the sunset together, and everything will be just, it'll all be ice cream and, you know, pink elephants and fluffy. So I don't know where I'm going with that, but it'll all be sort of magical and easy. And the reality is that, you know, sometimes you meet somebody who's a soulmate and they're not quite what you thought they were going to be when you made this arrangement on the astral plane. So you can get to, you can meet somebody and they've got a personality disorder, maybe substance abuse issues, something has gone radically wrong. So it doesn't, there's no guarantee that you're going to, that it, you're going to hit it off. All you have is an agreement. Let's give it a try. And so, you know, because sometimes people think, I've met my soulmate. I've had people say this to me. I hate my husband, but I know he's my soulmate, so I can't give him up. And it just doesn't work like that. We actually have multiple agreements with souls so that we do have other options if things don't work out. If you're meant to be with somebody, and most of us are, then the universe will make sure that if it doesn't work out with this one, there'll be another one. And so... yeah, I think sometimes people stay in these things too long because, oh, I think, you know, I'm expected to do with some, you know, it's a soulmate and I need to be with them. And I think also other times people don't recognize that there is a really deep connection, you know, that they meet somebody. Like often one gets it, oh my God, I've just met my soulmate. And the other person just, they don't recognize that there is that special quality to the relationship.
Hmm.
You said you choose like a soul's plan before you come into this life. But can you, in the book, you also talk about the balance between destiny and free will. Can you say something more about that?
Yes. Because people always say, you know, everything is meant to be. And, well, that's just not the case. That we have our destiny, if you like, is... we have a life plan, but it's not like every single detail is mapped out ahead of time, because if it were, there would be no point in being here. There's no growth. I mean, if you're just like following a path predetermined, I mean, where's the growth there? So we have, it's more like our life plan. It allows for people we're going to meet, experiences we want to have, you know, careers we want to explore, that sort of thing. But we have the free will to be able to change things at any time. And we are here to use our free will. That's an important thing. I mean, it's very, very important that we learn to do that. And that actually can create negative karma for somebody who interferes with somebody else's free will.
Hmm.
You know, that can come and bite you in future lifetimes. Because we're all here to ideally to learn to live our own lives our own way with as much personal freedom as possible.
Hmm. How do I know that I'm living the life my soul intended? How do my listeners know that they're living their life they're supposed to live?
Well, I think the first thing is that if you're living a life that your soul intended, it should feel, things should feel right. It should feel good. You know, like, are you satisfied in your work?
Mm.
You know, if you're not, then what's the problem? Can you identify what's not working about that? And then what can you look for? Most of us have a lot more personal freedom, a lot more power to change things too than we're aware.
Mm.
And, you know, so, it really, a lot of it's about questioning and look at your relationships, your friendships, your marriage, your work, you know, these big things that we have to deal with every day, and then sort of questioning, well, what's working, what's not, what can I change, what am I unable to change, and so on.
Is it an indicator that life is easy? Because in my I can sometimes feel that what I'm doing is deeply meaningful, and I feel this is something I'm really supposed to do, but it can still be hard work. It can still be very complicated. Is that a sign that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, or can the right thing also be hard? Do you understand?
I totally understand, because we were talking about technology earlier, and my wife and I, we run a membership program, and we have had so many technical issues, especially when we were starting this. Cameras wouldn't work, microphones wouldn't work, cables were broken. I mean, it was endless. We couldn't figure out we were on first name terms with tech support all over the world, and they would also say things to me like, well, we've never come across this problem before. It's always like kind of, there's some weird energy, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we said if we didn't have spirit guides that we could talk to directly, we would have thought that we were being discouraged, that they didn't want us to do this because it was so hard.
Yeah.
But it was just, life gets in the way sometimes. Life is not always easy.
No.
And the bottom line is to really think often about where you want to be 5 years from now. So just get out of the moment and think about 5 years from now. Picture your life, visualize it. Start to think about what you want that to look like. What's the ideal life? And then just work back and say, well, if I'm going to go to that point in 5 years, what do I need to do now? How do I get there?
Yeah.
And that, I think, can be a super helpful exercise. And it's kind of aspirational. You want to think about all the, the really good things that you want to have in your life.
And so I have a last question for you.
Sure.
What's the most difficult choice for you to walk this path as a psychic? Because you've told me you had quite some resistance to it, and being an atheist. And what has been the most difficult for you going this path?
Initially, it was, I think the most difficult thing was how other people would perceive, what I was doing. I used to have a very big past life fear around judgment. I had a horrendous fear of public speaking. I mean, I didn't talk in public for 30 years. I would get panic attacks. I've run out of rooms. I think I was dying. And it all went back to a past life where I had been judged and then executed. And when I initially started doing this work, well, actually, before I was writing my first book, I was actually praying for failure, because I didn't want the book to be a success, because then I'd have to talk about it and maybe go on a stage or a radio show. I couldn't have come on your show, you know, 20 years ago. It wouldn't have happened.
No.
I just would have refused. I couldn't be in front of a mic. Couldn't be in front of a camera. And so I did the past life work then, because my spirit guides are going, look, if you're going to write a book, you're going to have to promote it.
Mm.
And you can't be doing this stuff and, not doing interviews or whatever. So I did the past life work, and it was miraculous. I mean, it was incredible. And this is how past life work works, because it's not just about, it's just curious to know something. It actually leads to deep healing. I mean, I help people overcome all sorts of fears and phobias, and even there's healing of body parts as well. I mean, I talk about how, I've been able to help people with psoriasis and Crohn's disease and stuff like that. Because when they have a source in a past life, we're carrying these ghost memories with us in the body, and they show up often as chronic ailments. And So there's also there's the whole thing. The whatever is ailing you from a past life can be healed. And so I healed my fear of public speaking, this deep-seated fear of judgment. And that was the biggest thing, because I thought I would go to my grave. Mm. I thought I would die never being able to talk in public. Mm. And as crazy as it sounds, and now you can't shut me up because I'm making up for all this lost time.
If my listeners are sitting wherever they are sitting or walking or running now and thinking, oh, I don't, it's impossible for me to get this knowledge because Ainsley has got this full booked lists. And is it possible to heal and get in contact with your soul guides by reading, for example, the Old Souls Guidebook?
I think that would be a really good start. Check out the Old Souls Guidebook. You know,
because I was listening to the interview you had with Oprah, and she you were telling her about her soul personality traits, and she was, oh my God, is it true? Is it really? I was thinking I was this or that, and then you said, but did you read? Did you read what? Because she would have got to that knowledge if she had read the actual book and done the tests and the exercises in the book.
Yeah. Because we, yeah. Well, that's the book is the first book is the instruction. It's actually a system to help you understand. You know, it's got questions at the end of each chapter and little exercises to do. So there's that. But we also have a membership program where we have, you know, a lot of stuff that we teach there. If anybody wants to check that out, it's soulworld.com. And also we have a regular Sunday gathering at 12 o'clock Pacific. It's free. Mm. We've been doing it for a couple of years. I think we're on to episode number 207, I think was the last one. And so every week, every Sunday at 12 Pacific, that I think is about 8 o'clock, maybe.
Yeah, during this interview, I can see that the sun is getting brighter and brighter where you're sitting, and you noticed? You can't see my eyes now; it's so dark.
Near would see you.
So now I'm about to go to bed, and you're about to start your day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's different ways that people can work with me, or you know, check these things out, and. You know, absolutely. But, you know, if you want a session, sometimes we get cancellations and it's, you know.
Waiting list, so you can sign up.
Worth getting on the waiting list, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ainsley, for being a guest in my podcast.
Thank you.
It's been a great pleasure.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure for me, too.
And, thank you.
You take care. And, thank you.
Good night and good day.
Good night.
Tusen takk til deg som lytter til episoden. Jeg håper du likte den. Og gjorde du det, så blir jeg så glad om du støtter podcasten ved å følge den på Spotify, Apple Podcast-appen eller andre plasser du liker å lytte til podcast. Og på den måten blir du også oppdatert på de nyeste episodene ifra meg. Der kan du også legge igjen noen stjerne sånn at den blir synligere på listene. Og del også gjerne episoder med andre som du mener vil ha glede og nytte av å høre den. Jeg ønsker deg en flott veke og gleder meg til å dele enda flere episoder med deg fremover. Du finner meg også på Instagram, Facebook og på gryhammer.no. Vi høres.